Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach integrier- und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
By the time I got down to the back garden, Jim was already there. Leaning over the fence with a cigarette between his lips, still in his dressing gown, bloodshot eyes staring at me. I barely gave him a second glance at first. I was too focused on my garden, or rather, what was left of it. I reached up and rubbed my face. I'd only just woken, and my eyes were still gummed up with sleep. My whole head felt gummed up, foggy, like steam-covered glass. I had no idea what time it was, but I knew it had to be early. The sunlight in the sky was weak. I could hardly hear any cars on the main road out the front of the house either. I guessed it was 6 a.m, maybe 7 a.m. at the latest. It was a noise that had woken me that morning. A huge, deep rumble, like the sound earthquakes make in films, only closer. Much closer. It was as though something had exploded right out the back of my house. And, as it turned out, that wasn't too far from the truth. My back garden is a pretty modest affair. Small patio on the right, little square lawn on the left, a flower bed running along the back. Nothing too glamorous, but it suits me just fine. When I walked out the back door that morning, though, there was barely anything left of it. The entire lawn had vanished. Between the edge of the patio and the fence Jim was currently leaning against, there was nothing but empty space. A giant crater. The hole began a few feet in front of my back door and ended along the edge of the flower bed at the back, probably about 3 meters in diameter. I could see the roots of my flowers jutting through the crater's far wall. They stretched out of the dirt, flailing at empty air, helpless. Right then, I felt helpless too. Helpless and stunned. I had about 1,000 questions rushing through my head, and I didn't know where to start with them. But before I even had a chance, Jim spoke. "Looks like you've got yourself a sinkhole there, Simon." I tore my eyes away from the crater and stared at him, watched as he tipped ash from the end of his cigarette. It fell through the air and vanished into the gaping blackness of the hole. Sinkhole. I'd heard the word before in the news. I knew I had. But now, scanning my tired brain for information, I couldn't remember what I'd read about them. Weren't sinkholes something that mainly happened abroad? In countries that had problems with earthquakes and stuff like that? I couldn't remember. The last thing I wanted to do was engage Jim in conversation, but right then, I couldn't see another choice. "What the hell's a sinkhole?" I said. "How did it end up in my garden?" I stared at the crater in the ground. From where I was standing, I couldn't see the bottom of it. Its soil-packed walls descended into darkness. "A sinkhole," said Jim, "is what happens when you don't take care of your land properly." "What's that supposed to mean?" "It means exactly what it sounds like. You've probably got a pipe leaking beneath the earth or something. Sewage, maybe. Something eroding the ground. You think these things happen by accident?" I opened my mouth to give Jim a sharp reply, then stopped myself. The last thing I wanted to do was get into an argument with a miserable old dick. I had bigger things to worry about. "Do you know who I call to get something like this sorted?" I asked instead. "The council, maybe?" "That, I believe, is your problem." Jim kept his bloodhound eyes locked on mine as he took a final drag on his cigarette, then flicked the butt into my garden. The glowing tip pinwheeled into the darkness of the hole. "Just get it sorted," he said. "The last thing I want is my home going down in value because you can't look after yours." Jim turned away from the fence, and without making a conscious decision to do so, I found myself yelling after him. Yeah, well, the last thing I want advice is from some lonely old dick who can't keep his opinions to himself. I regretted the words as soon as they were out. Or at least, a part of me did. The other part, the bit that was suddenly burning with anger, didn't regret them one bit. Jim paused with his back to me. After a couple of seconds, he turned around. His red eyes had narrowed into unpleasant slits in his face. They were barely visible among the wrinkles. You know what, Simon? He said after a moment. I'm not surprised your wife left you. The only thing that does surprise me is her staying with you as long as she did. I sometimes think about murdering Jim. Just putting the old bugger out of his misery. I have a range of fantasies about the different ways I might do it. Sneaking into his house at night and setting up a tripwire across his stairs, bashing his head with a cricket bat, that sort of thing. As I walked back inside my house that day, my mind cycled through them all in deliciously gory detail. I'd never actually do it, of course. I'm not a monster. It's just that lately, since Jane left, I found that my mind needs an outlet, a way of letting go some of the anger I have building up inside me. That anger wasn't helped by the phone calls I had to make that day. It wasn't helped at all. You know what it's like when you ring a company and get stuck on hold for hours? Well, imagine that happening multiple times over and taking up your entire Saturday afternoon. That's how the rest of my day played out. The problem was, I had no idea who to call. I started with a non-emergency police number, but that was a no-go. They told me it wasn't a police issue, and made me feel pretty stupid for even thinking it might be. I guess I should have known better, but my head was still in a fog. After that, I tried the Citizens Advice Bureau. They advised me to try my home insurer, in case I was covered by them. I wasn't. A Saturday afternoon is obviously not a quiet time to ring up, and I spent close to an hour on hold before some grumpy bloke informed me that sinkhole cover was an optional add-on. Apparently, I hadn't ticked the box. Finally, I tried the local council. They bounced me between departments for a while, before eventually telling me it wasn't a council issue either. If the hole was on my land, it was my issue. They told me to try a landscaper. By that point, it was so late in the afternoon, and I was so ticked off that I decided to call it a day. Told myself I'd have another go in the morning. I ordered in takeaway pizza and got through most of a six-pack on the sofa before nodding off sometime after midnight. I had terrible dreams. In one, I was standing in my garden at the edge of the sinkhole, peering down into the depths, only instead of dense blackness, I could see something else down there. Blinking lights. Thousands of them. It felt like I was staring into space. The second dream was even worse, because it felt real. Far too real. I dreamed I was sitting up on the sofa, staring around my dark lounge. A noise had woken me. My TV droned in the background, the volume turned down to a murmur. Weak light spilled from the screen. Shadows danced across the walls. A man stood in the corner of the room. Or at least, I thought it was man at first. He was right back in the shadows, and I couldn't see his face. I could see his hands, though. Or rather, I could see its hands. Because I quickly realized the thing in my room couldn't possibly be a man after all. No man I'd ever seen before had fingers that long. They hung down just below the knees of the thing standing in the corner. Its palms were very wide and sort of stretched out. Each ended in fingers that were the length of knives. They curved over at the end like talons. I was staring at those hands, hypnotized, when the thing spoke. Outside. Whole. Its voice sounded almost human. Almost. It certainly spoke in English, but the words were so badly distorted it was hard to understand. They sort of gurgled out, like the thing was speaking to me through a mouthful of water. And as I watched, hypnotized, it reached out with one of those nightmare hands and pointed, stretched its fingers in the direction of my back garden. I woke with a start. I was lying on the sofa, my body covered in sweat. For a horrible moment, I struggled to tell whether I was awake or still dreaming. A thick churning fear sat in the bottom of my stomach like a stone. My back prickled. It was only after I got up and turned on the lounge light that I felt a tiny bit better, a tiny bit less afraid. But at that point, a different feeling was starting to creep up on me. You know what it's like when someone tells you not to look at something? How all it does is make you want to do the exact opposite of what they've just told you? I started to have that feeling, or at least something similar to that feeling, when I thought about the sinkhole. I suddenly had a nagging urge to go outside and look at the thing, like an itch in the back of my mind. A part of me really didn't want to. That part just wanted to roll over and go back to sleep again. But I couldn't do it. I didn't know if it was a hangover from my nightmares, but I knew I had to go and look. I wouldn't be able to relax until I did. The house was silent as I made my way through it. It was still dark out, and I guessed it had to be early in the morning, maybe 2 or 3 a.m. There was the occasional sound of a car passing on the road out front, but nothing else. By the time I reached the kitchen, my heart was thumping in my chest. My back felt sweaty, despite the nighttime chill. But even though I was afraid, the fear was muted somehow, distant. It was as though I was still half asleep, wandering towards my garden in a dreamlike state. I reached out to flick the switch on for the outside light, then paused. Something in my mind was telling me to leave it off. "Let the light from the stars guide you," whispered a voice in my head. "That'll be enough." And it was. As soon as I walked out the back door, the night sky bathed me in its soft yellow-white glow. The sinkhole lay in front of me. It stood out clearly, a black circle in the twilight. As I stared at it, I had no expectations. I could feel fear building inside me again. But, for now at least, my dreamlike trance still kept it at bay. In my mind's eye, I saw the shadowy figure from my dream pointing towards the back garden. I heard its gurgling voice saying outside and hall. I walked forwards. My bare feet padded down the concrete steps, then onto the edge of my dew-soaked lawn. There was only a thin sliver of grass left now. Most of the garden had been swallowed up. I stood with my feet on the very edge, toes dangling over the precipice. A warm breeze drifted up from the blackness. I pulled in a deep breath through my nose, catching a smell I couldn't quite place. Then I looked down. I don't know what I'd been expecting, but it wasn't what I saw. Perhaps a part of my mind was still thinking of the twinkling lights I'd seen in my dreams, winking down in the darkness like cat's eyes. I'm not sure. All I know is that there were no lights in that hole when I looked down. There was only darkness. Darkness. And a ladder. An old wooden ladder fixed to the side of the hole, directly below my feet, the rungs going down and down and down. I didn't even have to think about it. As soon as I saw that ladder, I knew I was going down it. The thought made the ball of fear in my stomach shift and churn, but it didn't matter. The curiosity was too strong to resist. "Let's get this straight, Simon," whispered a voice in my head. "A sinkhole opens up in your garden that's so deep you can't see the bottom. Then you have a nightmare about some messed up creature in your house, which basically points you in the direction of the hole. And now you're going to follow it?" It didn't make sense, but it didn't matter. Right then, sense didn't come into it. The urge I felt inside me was similar to the urge I felt when I woke from my dream. Only now, it was stronger. Now, the only thing that mattered to me was following that ladder to see where it led. Screw it. What do I have to lose? Jane was gone. I was stuck working a job I didn't give a damn about. The sinkhole was the only interesting thing that had happened in my life for a long, long time. With that thought fresh in my head, I began to climb. Getting under the ladder was a little awkward. I had to turn around and kneel, then stretch down with one foot, but I managed it in the end. The ladder's wooden rung felt solid beneath me. I'd been worried that it might be rotten, but it wasn't. Although it looked old, it was strong. I took a deep breath, pulled a mouthful of cool night air into my lungs. Then I began to climb. I took it slow at first. Slow and steady. Right foot down, then right hand, then left foot down, and so on. The smell of earth filled my nostrils. Earth and something else. Something I couldn't place. It was a sweet, slightly sickly smell. A cross between flowers and overripe fruit. Above me, the stars stood out in a circle of pitch black sky. The light around me was fading fast. When I'd started climbing, I'd been able to see the rungs in front of my face, but they grew dimmer the further down I went. Soon, I was climbing in darkness. I glanced up every so often. The night sky was framed above me in a porthole. Tiny stars winked down at me. By the 10th rung down, those stars were barely visible. By the 20th, they were completely lost in the gloom. By that point, I was starting to wake. My arms felt numb from supporting my body weight, and my hands were sore. Not for the first time that night, a part of me questioned what I was doing. "You know who finds a giant hole in the back garden, then decides to climb down into it?" whispered the voice in my mind. "Crazy people, that's who. People who have completely lost their grip on reality." But the thing was, I didn't feel crazy. I felt alive. My heart was pounding in my chest, and my adrenaline was pumping. The fear still sat in my stomach, but that was okay too. The fear only added to it. I felt like a little kid again, sneaking downstairs at night to steal food from the kitchen, like I was on an adventure. This thought process broke off when I sensed the change around me. I had to be about 30 rungs down by this point, and something had happened to my surroundings. Some subtle alteration I couldn't immediately work out. I stared ahead at my hands on the ladder, concentrating, and then it came to me. My hands. I couldn't see them again. They were illuminated by the very faintest tinge of pink light. I stared around myself, trying to work out where the light was coming from, scanning the hole's earthy walls for a source. That was when I saw the first of them. A little below me on the right, growing out of the earth, reddish pink in the gloom. Flowers. They weren't any species I recognized. I'm not exactly an expert, but I know my way around a garden. The things growing out of the wall were like nothing I'd ever seen before. Even in the pink-tinged shadows, they looked strange. Their leaves were spiky and long. They seemed to pulse in the darkness. And it was probably just my imagination, but as I gazed at the one closest to me, it seemed to move, like it was reaching out towards me. I kept climbing. I could feel the fear in my stomach, but it was balanced out by a strange sense of excitement, a feeling of discovery. By the time I was 40 rungs down, the flowers were everywhere. Pink light filled the tunnel. Sensing I might be nearing the bottom, I ignored the pain in my arms and picked up my pace. That was when something strange began to happen. The further down I went, the more my sense of balance shifted. I started to feel almost weightless. It was like I was crawling backwards rather than climbing down. I know how that sounds weird, but I don't know how else to describe it. By this point, the flowers are pushing their way between the rungs of the ladders. The petals brush my arms and legs. The spiky leaves stretched out towards my face. My arms suddenly felt weird. They hadn't stopped aching, but now they were aching in a different way. I'm not a big gym goer, but I occasionally force myself to do some press-ups in the morning. Right then, my arms and chest felt like they did after one of those sessions, like I was pushing my body weight up, away from the ladder, rather than supporting myself by clinging to it. It was the oddest, most disorientating feeling I'd ever experienced in my life. A few rungs later, I realized I wasn't going to be able to support myself for much longer. My arms were shaking. Each time I let go of the ladder with one arm, the other felt close to collapse. Panic filled my mind. In a desperate bid to stop myself falling, I pressed my body as close to the wooden rungs as I could. The flowers tickled my exposed skin. I felt my body weight rest against the ladder. And then, quite suddenly, I felt it taking my weight, supporting me. Tentatively, I let go with one hand. No change. The feeling of gravity trying to pull me down into the sinkhole had stopped. Ever so slowly, loosening one finger at a time, I let go with my other hand. I kept my eyes screwed shut the whole time, but nothing happened. Contrary to everything I knew about physics, I didn't fall, screaming into the abyss. My body stayed exactly where it was. The realization of what had happened to me came slowly. I lay on the ladder, trembling, unable to believe it. But the thought I'd had earlier, that feeling of crawling backwards rather than climbing down, was the only thing that made sense. After several minutes of lying prone on the ladder, I worked up the courage to test my theory. I stood up. I got my trembling hands under me, and I pushed myself into a standing position. I stood with my feet planted on either side of the ladder. Gravity had shifted. I didn't know if it had happened gradually or suddenly, but at some point during my climb, the world had rotated. Now, the flower-strewn ladder was beneath me, lying among the pink growth like a path. The sinkhole had become a tunnel. Slowly, feeling a tightness in my chest, I turned around. I turned so that I was facing in the direction I'd been climbing, facing what I'd previously thought of as a hole. It extended away into infinity. Just went on and on and on. Faded into a reddish pink pinprick in the distance. Aside from the plants climbing the walls like blood-soaked ivy, there was nothing else to see. Or rather, there was almost nothing else. Over to my left, a few feet in front of me, my eyes picked out a shape against the tunnel wall. A strange mound among the flowers, a sort of lumpy bulge. I walked over to it. By this point, it almost felt like my body was operating independently from my brain, running on autopilot, as though I'd stepped out of the real world and straight into a dream. The flowers pulsed and glowed in front of me. They were growing thick here. This particular section of tunnel wall was swamped in them. They crawled over its surface like vines. But they weren't thick enough to completely hide the thing beneath. As I reached out to part the flowers, I noticed my hand was shaking. The fear I'd felt on and off since waking had returned in full force. For the first time since entering the sinkhole, I was suddenly aware of how warm it was down here. My skin felt clammy. The sickly sweet smell of the flowers invaded my nostrils. I took a breath and pushed them apart, and saw a hint of grey underneath. I pulled in another breath and reached up higher, forcing the flowers apart again. More grey beneath. Some kind of soft material by the looks of things. I pulled my hand back and reached higher still, to the round, lumpy shape at the very top. The bulge that was roughly level with my own head. I parted the flowers once more and found myself staring at a closed human eye. I nearly screamed. The only reason I didn't was because I bit down on my lip hard to stop myself. There was a person beneath the flowers. A damn person. The plants had swarmed over them to make a cocoon. Without thinking, I started ripping the flowers from the wall in chunks, tearing them out of the soil. They felt warm in my hands, but I hardly noticed. I was intent on freeing whoever was trapped underneath. As I was doing this, a distant part of my mind became aware of some background change in the tunnel. A kind of vibration I could feel in my teeth. A faint tremble in the earth. But I ignored it and kept ripping at the blood-red plants. Sweat ran down my face in warm trickles. My heart beat hard in my chest. I didn't stop until I cleared the flowers from the person's face. I didn't stop until I realized, quite suddenly, that the man bound to the tunnel was someone I knew. I stepped back, stunned. It was my neighbor, Jim. His head was tilted down, so his chin touched against his chest. His breath wheezed in and out in ragged gasps. I stared at him in shock for a moment, unsure what to do next. Then, his eyes suddenly snapped open. I stumbled back a step, my foot caught against the ladder, but I managed to keep my balance. A look of animal terror filled Jim's bloodshot eyes. He stared at me as though he'd never seen me before in his life. Then, he started yelling. "What did you do?" Jim's voice was gravelly from years of smoking. It sounded like he was screaming through mouthfuls of dirt. "What the hell did you do, Simon?" The vibration in the tunnel had grown worse. The floor was trembling beneath us now. Jim stared around wildly, looking for an escape route. The mass of flowers covering him trembled and shifted as he thrashed against them. But it was no good. They held him fast. "Let go of me!" he screamed. "Get this mess off me!" I opened my mouth to tell him I had nothing to do with the plants, that I was just as confused as he was. But I didn't get a chance. Because just then, I sensed movement to my right. A shadow in the tunnel. My head snapped around in its direction. And suddenly, I was screaming too. The creature from my nightmare stood in front of me. The one I'd seen in my lounge. It was only a few feet away, lurking in the blood-red shadows, watching us. Or at least, I assumed it was watching us. The thing didn't have eyes. It was roughly the shape of a person, but the bit that should have been its head was completely smooth. No hair, no nose, no mouth. It took a step forwards. In the shadows of my lounge earlier, it had appeared grey in colour. Now I saw it was blue. A very dark blue, like the deepest part of the ocean. It was like a painted statue that had been smoothed to a texture close to glass. Its body pulsed with light, just like the flowers. And its hands. Looking at those hands made my skin crawl. They seemed even longer now than they'd appeared in my dream. Longer and sharper. The fingers were so elongated, they almost scraped against the tunnel's dirt floor. The earth around us shook. The vibration shot through my legs like an electrical current. Dirt fell from the ceiling. Jim screamed and yelled, his shouts almost lost in the noise. "Choose." That gurgling voice, the same one I'd heard in my nightmare. I heard it again then, in the tunnel. Only this time, It wasn't speaking out loud. Now, I seemed to be hearing it in my head. I stared from the creature to Jim, my heart hammering. "Choose." The voice was more urgent this time. On the walls around us, I saw red flowers being shaken loose from the dirt, uprooted. Some fell to the floor of the tunnel, where they died instantly, their lights winking out as they hit the ground. Dirt drained down on my hair and in my eyes. Jim screamed, and I made a choice. I made it by not saying anything, but by simply backing away, retreating down the tunnel. I had a nasty moment when my heel snagged against the rung of the ladder and I nearly fell, but I just managed to stay on my feet. The last thing I saw before I turned and ran was Jim stumbling free from his cocoon. The flowers binding him had loosened and fallen away as the ground around him shook. He wobbled forwards into the tunnel, his legs buckling beneath him. The creature caught him. It caught him with one of its long, spider-like hands. It supported his body to stop him falling, holding him up like an adult might hold a child. And then, it lifted its other hand and pushed the pointer finger into his mouth. I made it out. The tunnel crumbled around me as I first crawled, then climbed to the surface. But I made it in the end. I made it back into the cold night air of my garden. Jim didn't. I don't know exactly what happened to him down there, but I know one thing for certain. He's not around anymore. My neighbor's gone for good. I'd only just climbed free of the sinkhole when the thing collapsed behind me. When it fell in on itself, I lay on the edge of the chasm, panting and watching as the ladder shook free of the dirt wall holding it in place. I watched the wood crack and then fall into the abyss. Then I stared on in awe as the dirt walls caved in entirely. The whole thing was over in a matter of seconds. After it was done, I half crawled, half stumbled upstairs to bed. That night, I dreamed again. It was similar to the nightmare I'd had before, only with one key difference. This time, the thing in the shadows of my bedroom wasn't the creature. It was Jim. Jim staring at me with bloodshot eyes. Jim screaming. Jim asking me over and over, "What did you do?" I try not to think about Jim anymore. There are a lot of things I try not to think about. I don't like to dwell, for instance, on how little I care that he's gone. Neither do I like to remember the little thrill of excitement I felt when I was down in the hole with him. That excitement feels wrong now, somehow. Unnatural. And there are certain little inconsistencies from the night itself I don't like to think too much about either. Inconsistencies like my clothes. Despite the fact I'd been underground, and despite the fact I remembered soil falling down on me, my clothes weren't nearly as dirty as I'd have expected. When I picked them up to put them in the washing machine the next morning, it was really only the bottom of my jeans that had mud on them. The shovel was strange too. The next morning, I went straight out and bought a boatload of soil bags from Homebase, intent on filling what remained of the collapsed hole. When I got back to the house, though, I couldn't find my shovel. It wasn't in its usual spot. It was only when I went out to the garden to dump the soil bags that I saw it. It was lying by the edge of the sinkhole, as if I'd already used it for something. I couldn't remember putting it there, but I suppose I must have done. I just don't remember when. The last strange thing happened when I was filling in the remainder of the sinkhole. Since it had collapsed in on itself the night before, it was no longer that deep, only a few feet. I didn't understand how that was possible, given how deep it had been originally. But it didn't matter. The proof was right before my eyes. The hole was now shallow enough for me to see the churned earth at the bottom, but it was still deep enough to make me work up a sweat. As I shoveled in pile after pile of soil, I felt moisture trickling down my back. My heart thumped in my chest, and as my ears were ringing and the soil was raining down into the hole, I thought I heard Jim's voice. Very, very faint, as though it was coming from beneath the ground. A cry for help. My heart started beating faster, but I told myself I was hearing things. Had to be. My exhausted mind was playing tricks on me, that was all. I shook my head and shoveled the soil more quickly. Hours later, when I was finally done, I went inside and opened a beer. Opened a few beers, actually. The more I drank, the easier it was to forget about Jim. The easier it was to forget about him, lying beneath the earth in my back garden. He was a miserable bugger, but he didn't deserve that. No one does. And I don't deserve to keep turning it over in my mind either. The thing's done now. I've been through a lot too. I might be the only one who made it out of that hole alive, but I still have to carry the memories. And the last thing I want to do is examine them too closely.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.